Well, I just want to say dancing. this morning for Betsy and Miss Nyleen, I consider you a God sighting. Not just for that solo and that anthem, but just for all that you do for our church. Thank you very much. I know our church feels the same way, so thank you. All right. Well, we are here on this Christmas season Sunday, also getting ready for the new year. And there's many times in the church where that happens to us. We have church holidays and we have social and cultural holidays that we experience, and we kind of merge them together a lot of times. And so this morning, I just have a question for you. Do you like thinking about the future? You know, there's going to be mixed answers to that. It's okay. You don't have to be just a yes. You don't have to say no out loud if you don't want to, but I understand. Yeah? Y'all like thinking about the future? Do you like setting goals? And you might even call them resolutions, you know, because, well, resolutions you break by the 2nd or 3rd of January anyway, so don't call them that. We'll call them something else, right? Anybody? Anybody like doing that?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you do, Chris. Absolutely. Okay, so there's like one of us. That's cool. Yeah. So I used to really like doing this, and I think I may like it again one day. But I used to sit down, and I like to keep a planner or a calendar, and some of you guys may have this, but y'all have like something that you take with you to keep your notes, to write your schedule down or whatever. And as I was looking through it, I was flipping back through the year and going back and looking at notes and things that we had done and stuff that we had outlaid. And this is for family and for work and all of the things. Here's just some notes of stuff that was going on. We have our calendars that we mentioned in Children's Moment that are full from last year. But now we have something new. And I have my new one for this year. I haven't even opened it yet, which is one of my favorite parts. Yeah. And so we've got our new one for this year. And it's totally blank. It even smells like opportunity, right? I look at it and it's just completely blank. It talks about the goals for the year and looking forward at the weeks and laying out your calendar and your ideal morning and nights and weeks that you would go. And if I'm going to be honest with you, it just really stresses me out. Does anybody else feel that way? Yeah, sometimes we like to think about the things, but then when we actually set out and we have to do them, it begins to stress us out. And a lot of times that can lead us to just kind of haphazardly going through life, not planning for things like the future, not planning for things like generosity, not planning for all kinds of things in our life. But I want to encourage you this morning. I hope it's encouraging. But we as a people of faith, and specifically as Methodists, we are people who plan. Did you know that? What's the root word for Methodist? Method. Yeah. Or we are methodical. I was at a church in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, and they wanted to have a festival. They wanted to plan a festival. And in the back of my mind, I said, please, God, let this not pass. Right? Because of all the work it was going to be. And you know what the kicker was? What killed it? They were going to call it a Methodist festival. And the guy made a little flyer, and on the flyer, he called it Meth Fest. And it didn't make it. We did not have a festival. We let the field grow hay and sold the hay. Okay. But we are a people who plan. And here's the model that we get it from. We look at the life of Jesus. God had a plan. God came down to live among us and through us and to respond to the things that happen in everyday life. But there was a plan. Jesus didn't start his ministry for 30-something years. And sometimes when he would do a miracle, he would look at the people and tell them, don't go tell anybody, it's not time yet. There was a plan. We were a part of that plan. Today, here, you and I, we are a continued part of that plan, even though we weren't there at that exact time. Jesus had planned generosity for us for the future. Jesus had planned hospitality for us. This baby that is born and placed in a manger to this young family who will grow to become King of all kings and who is God incarnate, who is God with us at all points in time, had a plan. Have you ever had a plan and it just got obliterated? Right? I think we all have. I think we all have. And it may have been something as trivial as just a work project or something that was going on. But it could be something more life-threatening, like a phone call from a doctor or a diagnosis that you didn't see coming. I was flipping back through my planners, and they all stopped in July of 2022 for me. I didn't have any more planners after that until the fourth quarter of 2023. Because sometimes there are things that come into our life that we have to adapt, that we have to overcome. That sounds like Bear Grylls, right? Adapt, overcome, something else. There's a meme about it. We'll be fine. So sometimes even the best laid plans, you've probably heard, you know, if you want to hear God laugh, tell God your plans, right? And I understand what that means. It means that we feel like we can't control the future. We feel like we can't control our own lives and health. We feel like there's lots of things. We can't control other people as much as we would like to. We can't control the economy or even our employer or whatever it may be. But I think what that saying misses is that it doesn't mean we shouldn't have plans. Because we plan to be a faithful people of God. Almost 70 years ago, people planned this church to start and be at Moore Elementary, and then they bought this land and built this building. They had planned for us to be here. We are here because they had a plan. Our children and children's children and people we will never know and who will never be related to us, we want to plan for them to have a place where they are welcome, where they can grow in faith, where when things happen in our community that cause devastation, they are prepared to respond with a place, with money where it's needed, with hands and feet, with a faith that has been raised up and built up to understand that to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ takes hard hope, difficult faith, and it takes us going and doing and being Christ-like in all that we do. We are planning, whether we realize it or not, not just surviving. That's who we are in our daily lives in all kinds of ways. But as a church, that is who we are. This verse I told the children about in Ecclesiastes. You know, Ecclesiastes is really up and down for me. Sometimes I read Ecclesiastes and I'm like, that's right. Right? We should just enjoy life and nothing has meaning. I don't know, right? And then sometimes I read it and I'm like, why is that in here? It is not helpful sometimes, right? So in Ecclesiastes 8:7, it says, it's true, and this is from the Message, it's true that no one knows what's going to happen or when who's around to tell us. It's true that no one knows what's going to happen or when, and then they're looking for someone to be around to tell us. Now, there are all kinds of people who are more than happy to tell you what the future is going to hold. They are more than happy to tell you everything you should do to get to that place. I can't even watch a YouTube video without this one guy with his shirt off and ripped abs telling me how I got to stop eating carbs, right? There are so many people who will tell you what you need to do, who you need to be, and what your future is going to look like. And usually it's all for their gain and maybe not even yours. Now, what this verse does get at is a hard truth that we know, that we can't control the future. Now, I would put an asterisk next to that because I do believe there are some things we can control. We can't control sometimes if we will get sick. That just happens. But we can control what we eat and whether we exercise. We can control things like that, whether we go get health care or whether we wait 16 months before we go get health care. There are some things that we can control. We can't control the economy, but we can save, and we can be generous, and we can lay a foundation for the generations that come. There are some things we can control, but there are many things that we can't. And I believe the author of Ecclesiastes was in the midst of one of these moments. No one knows what's going to happen or when. Who is around to tell us? So to kind of answer that question, I just want to share some scriptures with you this morning, and many of them you have heard before. I was hoping Miss Wanda would be here today, but she's not, because I'm going to share one of her favorite scriptures, and you know it, and you've probably heard her say it, but it's Jeremiah 29:11. I'm going to share this from the Message. And it says, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised and bring you back home. Now, I hope you feel some comfort in that, right? I'll show up and take care of you. This is God speaking. I'll show up and take care of you, and I will bring you back home. Then it goes on to say, I know what I'm doing. Now, we're going to pause right there for a second. We would never say out loud in church that we've ever thought God didn't know what God was doing, right? But if we were going to be honest with each other, if we still had confession like the Catholics do, there might be times where we thought we could have done it better, where I might have intervened, and where I took control of my life because whether I realized it or whether I didn't, I really kind of felt like I knew better. And so God is telling us this through the prophet in Jeremiah, I'll show up and take care of you as I promised. Now, what we hear in that is that there's a promise. You have been promised by God that God will take care of you and that God will ultimately bring you home. And that God knows what God is doing. Now, living into that little yellow piece right there at the last of our verse this morning, that is a hard thing to live into, to trust that God really knows what God is doing. Now, when I say it out loud, you're like, preacher, that sounds like blasphemy. But when we go to lead our lives, we seem to truly believe that we know best, or someone else knows best, or the latest guru or the latest fad knows what's best for us. But we as a people of faith believe that God knows what God is doing. I believe that there's comfort and excitement in this. Continuing to go on in verse 29, and this was the second half of 10 and the verse 11, I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. Now, I love this first part of the verse, not the part highlighted in yellow. I like that too. But the first part, I have it all planned out. Now, does that make you feel better or claustrophobic and want to throw up? Everybody's different. I went down to visit some family. And they are wonderful folks, but they live in the same area where they were born, and they'll live there until they ultimately go on back home, right? And one of my cousins had shared with me at one point, he was working in this place that makes some pallets. He was working pallets, not palaces, pallets. You have to excuse my South Georgia. It's coming back. And he was saying, I see everybody that's in front of me in line in management of this pallet-making factory, and I know kind of their ages and when they'll retire and when I'll go from position to position to position. And he was so excited about that because it brought him comfort and stability and understanding. And it made me want to throw up and run away because it felt confining and tight and claustrophobic. Each of us is different, but God is telling us that God has a plan for our future. For you and for me, not in a prescribed way that you have to get every step right. It's not that. It's in a way that you're not just being tossed about haphazardly. There are things that happen in our life that are not of God. You know, sometimes we say things like, well, I'm sure God had a reason. And if that brings you comfort, especially in a moment of trauma, I'm not going to correct you. But there are things that happen in this world that are not good, that are evil and are bad, and that should not happen and be that way. And we need God in those moments. But God has a design for us. God has a plan. The second thing I want to encourage you with this morning is that you are not alone. Now, the first time I went to annual conference, and if you're a United Methodist, you've probably heard us mention annual conference, but it's where all of the clergy and the lay leaders who are elected from around, it was our Middle Tennessee area, now it encompasses the Memphis area as well, come together in one place for what we call holy conferencing, which means holding each other accountable, worshiping, taking part in the sacraments, all kinds of stuff, and business as far as voting on things. And I remember walking in, it was my first year here, it was back in 2011 when we first moved to Tennessee. And I went in there, and I didn't know anybody, but I had to be there. And it was the busiest, lonely place I have ever been. because I didn't know anybody. I didn't know where to sit. I didn't know what to do. Sometimes church feels that way to people, especially when they're new. Moving into a new job or a new area feels that way when they don't know people and they don't know where to go and they don't know what restaurants or whatever it is. Sometimes we feel that way when the doctor gives us that news. Sometimes we feel that way when we check the credit card after Christmas in silence. Sometimes we feel that way when something's happening at work that nobody knows about yet, but it's coming. But I'm here to offer you this morning this promise that God gives us. And we find it as early as Deuteronomy. And this is chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong, take courage, don't be intimidated. Well, that first part, that's kind of easy to say and really, really hard to do, right? You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what it's like. You don't know how weak I feel physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, relationally, whatever it might be. So God offers this up next. Don't give them a second thought because God, your God, is striding ahead of you. He's right there with you. He won't let you down. He won't leave you. You are not alone. God goes with you. The name that we give to Jesus at his birth is Emmanuel, which quite simply just means, and you know it, what does it mean? Excuse me. God is with us. And because of the second part of that verse, the first part of that verse can be true, that in the face of whatever we are facing, we can be strong. In the face of whatever is going on in our lives, we can take courage. In the face of whatever giant we are facing in our lives, we don't have to be intimidated because God is with us. Now, I don't know what the new year has planned for you. You may be looking at a time of excitement and joy and growth. You may be looking at more health concerns that you don't know what to do with or whatever it is that is going on in your life. But I want to offer you this morning that no matter what you're going through, that God is with you, that that is a promise as old as time itself and even older, if we're going to be quite honest. God is with you. Now, we are going to try our best to be strong, to not be intimidated, and to take courage. And that's part of why we gather together each and every week here for worship. It's part of why we gather in groups like Sunday school classes and small groups and share what's really going on in our lives and in our hearts. It's part of why we call that one person that we always call that we know we can talk to is because they help us to be strong. They help us to take courage. And they help us not to be intimidated. And that we are a people that remind each other that no matter what is happening, that God is with us. And our final verse for today comes from Philippians, and it's chapter 1, verse 6. And it's coming, I got it from the message. All of these came from the message this morning if you were flipping along, just so you don't think I'm a liar, because sometimes it's quite different from the Pew Bible. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish. Now, at this point, the author is writing to the people in Philippi, right? And he's telling this to a church and a people that he knows who are growing and who are booming and are doing these great things and who need some encouragement because they're facing some hard times. And after the ellipsis, we're not going to throw it up there, but it says, until the day that Jesus comes back. But I believe that we can take this verse and know that it's true for us as well. That because God has a plan for us, that because we are not alone and that Emmanuel really is real and that God knows what God is doing, that God is with us, we can know that God will complete this work in us. Your life and your purpose will not be left in vain. That God No matter your age, no matter your health, no matter your economic status, whatever it is, that God is continuing to work in and through you, that God is still a part of your family, that God is still a part of your life, that even when we don't see it or know it or feel it and we wonder where God even is, that God is out there laying the foundations of the steps we will take. God is getting ready to put people into our life who will continue to help us, into the lives of our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and wherever it may go, into the lives of our friends and our family. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that God, who started this great work in you, would keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My friends, whether you're a planner or not, I genuinely don't care. That was just a joke earlier. I mean, I do think God's a planner and we should be too, but we're going to keep moving. God has a plan for you, for a hope and a future. God is still at work in you, and you are not alone. It doesn't mean everything's hunky-dory all the time. It doesn't mean there aren't things that happen. It doesn't mean there aren't things we have to deal with. It doesn't mean there won't be hardship or illness or whatever may come our way. But in the midst of those moments, when the house is too quiet yet again, when it is another doctor's visit that you didn't want, when you check your bank account again and it didn't change and you really hoped it would even though you didn't know how, when you have to deal with that person that you never wanted to have to deal with again, whatever the hardship is in your life, God has a plan for you. You are not alone. And God is going to complete the life and purpose that you have. We don't know all of what life has planned for us, but we do know who holds those plans. Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you are a God who has a plan for us. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and that you have adopted us into your family, that you have made us heirs of your kingdom, that you have brought us through Jesus, through this babe in a manger, into the living work of your body in this world. Continue to shape us and to make us into the people you would have us to be. Continue to help us to live the plan that you have for us. Lord, be with those who are experiencing hardship, illness, death, whatever it may be. Be with them in these moments when they feel so alone. Lord, help them know. Surround them with community. Be with them yourself. Help them see and whisper to them that they are loved. And in the moments where we need that as well, we ask the same. Lord, we are a people who confess that we believe you know what you are doing. And we want you to continue doing it in our life. In Christ's name, we ask for all these things. Amen.